welcome to worship at Chandler United Methodist Church. You know, your financial support as part of your faithful discipleship is the reason that this church remains strong in mission and ministry. Links for online giving are in the email that put this in your inbox and also on the church webpage, or you could mail a check to the church office. We are in a series of sermons looking at what it means to be for Jesus. We did a series leading up to Easter about what it means to be against Jesus. Now we're going to spend an equal number of, actually even more weeks, talking about being in alignment with Jesus, certainly not against Jesus, who calls us to follow him and uses practical, everyday images and words to guide we, his followers. Our gospel lesson today is a very down-to-earth text. Jesus is highlighting the imperfection, the voiceless vulnerability of children. This is a favorite text. The most popular way that preachers have led us to understand this passage has been to focus on the phrase, like a child, as in, you must receive the kingdom of God like a child. Like a child, and then the pastors will import the word childlike and set up an opposition to being childish, and so the sermon is about being childlike versus being childish. And the conversation will list out a few characteristics of children which we adults like, their tendency to be exploring and filled with wonder, and etc., etc., and then speak poorly about a few unpreferred qualities we adults label as childish, selfishness, having tantrums, and so forth. Parents are reinforced in their attempts to teach being good as acting in the preferred ways and as the way to get into heaven. And then there's a closing hymn, and everybody goes home to Sunday dinner. That's the way it's been preached in America for a couple of generations. Just one little problem. Those words are not words which Jesus spoke, childlike versus childish. Nor is that the theme for these two verses, nor is that interpretation in line with the message of Jesus in this portion of Luke. Just a little problem. This section of Luke, chapter 18, begins with Jesus telling the parable of the persistent widow, a woman expending unending effort toward an uncompleted struggle of seeking justice, which is followed by Jesus telling the parable of two men praying in the temple, a self-elevating Pharisee who finds importance in looking down on and criticizing others. This Pharisee does not go home justified. And then the other man who's praying in the temple that day is an imperfect, conniving, evil-doing tax collector who relies on the mercy of God, the parent in this story, who does go home justified. Jesus ends the parable by saying, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then comes the story of Jesus receiving children, which we read today and we will come back to in a moment. Then comes an interaction between Jesus and a wealthy ruler who asks Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life, and then begins listing his accomplishments, mostly centering on his earnest piety. And then his wealth becomes the stumbling block. Jesus says, "Sell all you have, give to the poor, and come follow me." And Jesus talks about dying and fulfills the request of a blind man who wants to see. I think you are seeing the problem here. The message that behavior in the preferred manner gets you into heaven just does not line up with what is happening here. But not everyone wants to see what is happening here. Sometimes the choice for blindness is pretty attractive. The focal point of this text is on little children, but the message is for us all. So how about we listen to the message of the text? When a baby is born, the baby comes into this world knowing nothing. Child must learn everything from scratch. They know nothing. They know not even how to perceive anything. They see shapes and colors and movement, but they have no way of putting understanding that this is different from that, or this is closer than that, and or that this face belongs to a person. The same is true with the hearing for a small child. Their entire existence so far has been through the water of the one who creates them, the one who will bear them to the world. This world into which they are born, which we call real, is entirely foreign to a newborn child. They are foreigners in a new land, and we welcome them as we should. Small children have before them a seemingly unending series of challenges and struggles and opportunities for growing. Everything is big, seems insurmountable to a small child. That is the design. And learning a new way is incredibly hard and challenging and requires daily effort. Every day the child must learn from what has not been going well, must learn something new, some new ways for managing self and others. Every day comes with opportunities to see anew. That is what Jesus means in this text. That is what he is calling for in those seeking the kingdom of God. And if you want to lift out the behavior of anyone for the conversation of the church, then I think we should let the text speak about behavior, and it does. Jesus chides anyone who expects children to be other than what they are. And there is also a rather hard reprimand of anyone who elevates themselves by rebuking others, especially the vulnerable. This is not to say that we cannot be good parents with clear expectations and reasonable consequences for choices that get made. This is to say there is a difference between good parenting and bad parenting, good parenting, good community, good child raising is founded in the fact that children are new people learning to be adults who thrive on good examples and clear choices and respect and affirmation. Good parenting is rooted in aligning our expectations to match what is age appropriate for the child in what we expect and what we require. Bad parenting is rooted in the unreasonable expectation that it is the child's job to meet the emotional demands of the grown-ups around them, which often brings scolding and criticism and shaming. I saw a meme the other day which spoke to me. The meme read, "When you criticize children, they do not stop loving you. They stop loving themselves." Now, given that Jesus begins his ministry by clarifying 11 times in 9 sentences that all people are valued, all people are favored in the eyes of God, we can begin to see how a negative, critical voice can wreak havoc with terrible, lasting repercussions. And why Jesus stands so firmly against such criticism. Right before this, in chapter 17, Jesus has been talking about our attempts to keep our life before us and under our control through harsh rule keeping. He's been coming down on harsh rule keeping. Jesus says back in chapter 17, verse 1, he says, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come." He's pretty hard on rule keeping. Jesus goes on to say it would be better for such a person to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. There's a couple of points here that we could hear. First is that, like children, we are moving into a new world, the kingdom of God. We're learning a way which is unfamiliar to us. And it's going to require an unending effort, a curiosity toward what feels like an eternal task. The tasks of the kingdom are not easy. Compassion and justice seldom are. And we simply cannot be good at it from the beginning. And so, expecting this, we try, we fail. We evaluate, we learn. We try again. A little better this time, but we still evaluate, we learn, we try again. Scolding, criticizing, rebuking, condemning are just not helpful in how we address ourselves or others through this process of growing into the kingdom. The second point that we could hear here is a question of trust. Do we trust this new way, which is new to us and unfamiliar? Do we trust enough to let it redefine us a little bit every day? Do we trust it enough to let it reprioritize our to-do list every day? Will you trust it enough to work at it, to come back to it again and again and again, even though it may take a lifetime? It will take a lifetime. Will you trust God's way enough to give your life working for it, even if you do not see its fulfillment in your lifetime? The one we follow is teaching trust, and we are learning as we go. The sacrament of Holy Communion is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. We were formed from dust into God's image. We were sparked into life by God speaking. Almost immediately, we determined to go our own way. God came looking and delivered us from captivity. God sent prophets to live and speak among people like us. God even sent a son who demonstrated the way of God. And yet people like us criticized the prophets and criticized the son, disparaged him, pressured him, blamed him, schemed against him, apprehended him, beat him, ridiculed him, ended him. Because even though they said they wanted to know God's way, they chose their own way. On the night in which Jesus demonstrated God's way of changing the world, he gave thanks while breaking bread, saying, "This is me becoming part of you. Eat this and remember me." After dinner, he again gave thanks, this time over a cup, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. My blood seals a new covenant. Remember God's presence in you as often as you drink it." Later that night and into the following days, in response to God's divine purpose, people like me and like you arrested and tortured this man to death. They did it in broad daylight, and they called it good. God's response to the end they imposed on Jesus was to begin again. God spoke life. Jesus ascended to be with God, and according to his promise, remains also with us as we seek to follow in his way. As Jesus offered himself fully to God's purpose, so do we. As Jesus remained unswerving from God's way, so do we. We sense the movement of the Holy Spirit to lead us along the narrow path, and we give thanks for the work of God in our lives. May the Spirit of God, whom we know through the person of Jesus, go before to show you the way, behind to nudge you forward when you're simply too frightened to even move, above to watch over you, beside to be sometimes the only friend you have in this world, and within that you might have peace. Be always in peace. Amen.